Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection.
Only from John Frieda.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you here on this Friday and getting set for a big weekend. Got a lot of things to discuss here in the next few minutes on the program. We're going to do that with you coming up. I want to say a big thank you, of course, to our friends at Outdoors Inc. for sponsoring the show. Also, SeatGeek. Remember, SeatGeek is the spot for you. If you're looking to get tickets to anything, whether Grizzly games, which are, you know, by the way, coming up in a little over 2 weeks, there'll be some actual basketball to talk about in FedEx Forum. Whether you're looking for tickets to the Grizzly game, whether you're looking for tickets to a football game this weekend or any weekend or a concert, shows coming up, you name it, they've got you covered at SeatGeek. Again, check out SeatGeek. Check out the great folks over there. And it's really easy to do. What you do is you just download the SeatGeek app on your phone, on your device, you name it. They've got it very easily for you. Whatever your device is, they've got it. Download it. It's free. And put in the promo code LONBA. There'll be a little settings tab. Put that promo code LONBA in first thing out because you're going to save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Once you do that, then start looking around and use their proprietary algorithm to save money. They scour all the sites so you don't have to. You know, when you see that green dot on that seating chart, that you're getting a great ticket at a great price. Check out SeatGeek. Again, download the app, whatever you've got, Android, iPhone, you name it. They've got you covered at SeatGeek. Go to the app, download it, use promo code LONBA. Save yourself some money with SeatGeek. So, a few things to get to on the program. First of all, Marc Gasol and Spain. What a disappointing performance from Marc and Spain as they lose to Slovenia in the Eurobasket semifinals. Marc did not look especially good. He had looked very good in the quarterfinal game against Germany with 28 points and 10 rebounds, but as he was described by the Spanish newspaper AS, that said that he was a shadow of the player against Germany, and he was. The star of the show, to me, other than Goran Dragic, who was very good, was Luka Doncic. And if you are the type of person that wants the Grizzlies to tank, if you are a tank fan, and there are a few out there, this is the guy that you would want to tank for, in my mind. Well, combined with Michael Porter and Marvin Bagley, there should be a number of really good prospects at the top of this draft. And the Grizzlies do have their pick free and clear this year, so it would be a good time to get to the top of the draft. But Luka Doncic is unbelievable. 18 years old, if you haven't watched him play, watch him in the Eurobasket final, which will be on Saturday. Check him out. He's 6'7". Guy's not that fast, but man, can he pass. Great feel for the game. At the age of 18, he plays like he's a veteran. Was spectacular in the quarterfinals, scoring. Nearly had a triple-double against Spain, 11 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. I love the kid. Love him. Love him. So if you want tanking, then he's the guy you want to tank for. And here's the reason why I bring that up, because tanking is going to change, and picks are going to change, it appears, because the proposal that is emerging from the NBA and that will be voted on, I think, at the end of this month, September 28th is the date that this will be voted on by the Board of Governors, I think it could be really problematic for teams like the Grizzlies, small market teams out there, in terms of getting top-level talent. If you have not heard what the NBA is trying to do, they're trying to eliminate what they feel is a major problem of tanking. I personally do not think it's a major problem. I think there's always going to be something to tank for, no matter what you change, as long as you have a system in place that punishes teams for succeeding, at least in terms of draft position, you always are going to have opportunities to tank. I mean, you're seeing it this year in the NFL with a team like the Jets that basically purposefully got rid of as much talent as they possibly could in order to try to secure the best draft position that they can. And you know, in the NFL, it's just a straight reverse order draft, worst team gets best pick. There's no lottery or anything like that involved. So tanking is a much more secure strategy, or it should be, because at least you know what you're going to get in terms of the pick. That's not the case with the NBA right now, and it's going to be even less so if this proposal is passed, and it looks like there's enough momentum that it's probably going to be passed. It would come into effect not this year's draft, the 2018, but the next one, 2019. So it's going to be the last year of the current system where the worst record gets a 25% chance at the top pick. Second worst gets around a 19%. Third worst gets around 15 or so percent. That's going to flatten out to around 14%. A flat 14 for each of the worst three teams. So there will be no benefit, according to this, for being worst in the league. Second worst, third worst, it's all the same, 14%. Then going down through the rest of the lottery, the numbers will kind of be a little more smoothed out. Everyone will kind of bump up a little bit in terms of the percentage so that even the 14th team right now, who would normally get, I think it's like a 0.1% chance in terms of the actual lottery, now that would bump up to 1%. So a huge jump for that team. Everything would just kind of smooth out down the line. And the offshoot of that, of course, is that it would reduce the effectiveness of tanking. When you redistribute that much of the opportunity to get high picks in the lottery, when you redistribute that among teams that have better records, then you are going to necessarily minimize tanking. The problem I have with this, not so much that it's happening, and you know, it's fine to take that away. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Oh, and I should point out too, before I forget, that another component of this is going to be that in all likelihood you will see four teams, the first four slots, get selected by lottery rather than three, which means that teams could then drop four spots as a result of the picks. So you could see the number one team end up, or the worst team in terms of record, that would technically slot into that number one spot. They could actually drop down to the fifth pick in the draft and on down the line, because if you're going to pick those top four, and if four teams jump you in the lottery, then you could drop down. So again, all of this just introduces a lot more uncertainty into things, which gives opportunities out there, again, for teams that aren't as bad to jump up into the lottery, which makes tanking less effective for sure. But I'm not so sure that tanking as a strategy is that big of a deal from the NBA's perspective. And I think the issue for me is that this just gives more opportunity for bigger teams to get better players on the regular on a regular basis. And it takes away an avenue that is more consistent for small market teams to get those players. The only way Memphis is ever going to get a LeBron James, and they very nearly did, is to draft him. That's it. He will not come as a free agent. He will not come in a trade. I guess you could somehow make a trade work with a guy of, you know, decent quality, but you would have to take a major risk in doing so, much like Oklahoma City is doing this year with Paul George, where you take on a ton of risk. And if he leaves, then you will have traded something for nothing, essentially. And, you know, they put the feelers out. Paul George, his people said, look, man, and I mean, hell, the NBA tagged the Lakers with tampering. So they've obviously been in contact with Paul George and his agent. But they've said, you know, Paul George is not going to re-sign with you. He's not going to re-sign with you. He wants to go somewhere else. And so that really cools the market on trading for these guys. So in essence, you're talking about opportunities for these players. How many are really out there? How many avenues are really out there for a team like the Grizzlies? And the answer is, well, really just the one. There's one outlet, and that's drafting. And that gets harder. Now, guys have been drafted. I mean, you've seen, you know, Giannis got drafted in the middle of the first round. Kawhi got drafted in the middle of the first round. I mean, guys, that does happen. But as you know, the likelihood is that you're going to have to pick very high to get the very highest quality player. That's just the nature of it. When you take that avenue away, or you introduce a lot of uncertainty into it, then that is, in my mind at least, necessarily going to hurt the small market teams and, by definition, help the bigger teams. That's not in my mind, that's not the way that you want the league to go if you genuinely want competitive balance. If you genuinely want to give small market teams an opportunity to compete at the highest levels, that's going to make it harder for them. It's not impossible, but it's going to make it harder for them. I've always said, but to me, the biggest thing that they're going to have to do, at some point, the league is going to have to figure out how much they actually value this concept of being competitive, how much you actually value the concept of trying to spread out that competitive balance. Because at this point, it's just not happening. And until you come up with actual meaningful reform on a salary side, and you really overhaul the draft altogether, you're going to have the same level of problems. You're going to have the same issues. You're going to have the same stuff that comes up. I mean, look at the economic incentives to do so. So in my mind, I'll just give you my package of reforms, and you can think about it. But number one, it starts with a hard cap, a genuine hard cap. Make it some number, very high number, sure, but make it a number that is truly there. You can't go over X percentage, and it would be tied into, you know, the BRI and all that. But, you know, 140, 150, whatever it is, just make it some number. Hard cap, you cannot go over it, period. Okay? That's step one. Combine that with step two, which is an elimination of max contracts. There is no max number. There is no max salary you could put. I mean, we could talk about years or whatever, but as far as I'm concerned, no max money, no max years. And that then opens up now the opportunity. And you think, initially you may think, well, wouldn't that help big market teams then because they could pay more? But when you couple it with the hard cap, now you have to build a team. And you have to determine how much these guys really are worth. How much is a LeBron James worth? And how much, more importantly, is maybe a mid-tier type guy? You want to talk about a Paul George or a Boogie Cousins. Guys that have been really talented but haven't necessarily translated that for whatever reason to, you know, winning titles. How much do you value those guys? Because if you take away a max contract, now you could pay the Grizzlies, for example, could set up their team and they could pay Russell Westbrook, or try to pay Gordon Hayward if they wanted to get in that market this offseason. Just whoever, pick a guy that's pretty good, but probably would never come to the Grizzlies. You could now pay him $60 million, $70 million. If you really think he's that good, then you could pay that guy, and you would just have to then, you know, work on the rest of your roster and work under some limitations, but you could pay an enormous amount of money. And here's my other thing. Rookie scale and all that stuff, I would either reduce or eliminate that as well. So that rookies, in my mind, what I'd really like to do, honestly, is to have forget the draft, and just have young players come into the league, and you could pay whatever you could pay. And some guys would get, you know, huge amounts of money. The Bagleys and Doncic's and all those guys would get big offers, and other guys wouldn't, and they would slide into the league. But that would allow for opportunity, the guys to be the right fit for the right team at the right price. And you wouldn't see these guys get drafted by the wrong situation, or guys get drafted and then stashed away for a while, or have to prove themselves. That stuff would go away. That stuff would go away. That would be my ultimate pipe dream. I think that getting rid of the draft, it's a system that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We just do it in American sports because that's just the way that it's done. But it isn't done in soccer. It isn't done in a lot of other sports. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense when you think about it, that you would have to enter this professional market. You have to go through this predefined range of options, teams getting first crack at your services and all that stuff. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. So ultimately, at least what I'd like to see is the hard cap and removal of max salaries. That then allows you to really spread out. And if the difference comes down to Paul George, let's say, or whoever, and the Lakers are going to pay $30 million, and the Grizzlies are going to pay $60 million, that's a legitimate thing. Now, if you have to give up a $60 million deal over say 3 years, $180 million, or 3 years and $90 million, you're giving up $90 million to play in Los Angeles, in addition to taxes and everything else. Now, that is significant. That is truly significant. And if somebody picks that, then God bless them. That's that. What can you say? But at least you give small market teams now a legit fighting chance to really get in there and make a significant money offer that would help to balance that out. Because if you look at it and you have max deals, first of all, kind of undemocratic, because a guy like LeBron is worth $80 million or more. I mean, God knows what he's worth to the team, but he, just in terms of the cap number, he's worth a huge percentage of your cap. But if it's max, then that means that LA offers the same number, New York offers the same number, Miami offers the same number, Houston offers the same number, whatever it may be. All these markets that are out there, same number as all the small markets. Well, the appeal of the small market is necessarily diminished unless you're talking about an organization that has really been spectacular for a long time and has overcome some of that. Or if you're LeBron and you happen to be from Akron and Cleveland plays not far from Akron and they have a professional basketball team, then that comes into play as well. But otherwise, what's the appeal? What are you going to do? How are you going to get those guys to show up? So for me, this lottery reform doesn't really help. It doesn't help anyone other than the bigger market teams, because it gives them an easier pathway to kind of be middling and still end up with that great talent. And it takes away what is a more sure thing and a sure opportunity for bad teams, or for small market teams, excuse me, to be bad so that they can have an entree to getting those talents. It's not a guarantee. Obviously, you still have to draft well, develop players well, all that stuff. But at least you have that guarantee that you would be near the top of the draft and you would be able to do that. Best player for the Grizzlies, you know, right now, Marc Gasol. He was a second-round draft pick, very unusual if that's the case. Grizzlies traded for him, but had to kind of take a risk in order to do it and really didn't know that he was going to develop into this. Who's the other one? Mike Conley, top pick, you know, fourth overall draft pick. And the Grizzlies, you know, got a little bit of poor lottery luck there, to be honest, in that draft, because maybe you could have ended up with Kevin Durant, but at least you end up with Mike Conley, who's been a spectacular player for the Grizzlies, again, at the top of the draft. You have to draft properly. Grizzlies screwed that up completely in 09, drafting Hashim. Have screwed it up, you know, when O.J. Mayo turns out to be a screw-up at the top of the 08 draft. I mean, you still have to draft well. They haven't done that. But at least you were in that with an opportunity, if you had drafted well, to end up with those kinds of talents. So color me skeptical about this from the Grizzlies' perspective. I just don't care for it. Now, a couple other things. We talked about the Vince Hunter signing. That still no Jamichael Green word yet. And still no... I think it's going to happen, but it seems more and more likely that with the Vince Hunter thing now, maybe they're angling towards a qualifying offer situation. I think that would be probably a worst-case scenario for the Grizzlies, just to have him potentially be on the open market next offseason. I don't know what the market would look like. I suspect not great, but if he does happen to blow up, then you now have an opportunity to lose him for nothing. And, you know, this is an acrimonious kind of thing that's going on right now. So the relationship is going to have to be repaired in the course of the season. Still no word on exactly how that's going to go. Coming up, by the way, in about a week and a half, Grizzlies will get things started with Media Day. That will be on the 25th of September, and we'll have all kinds of interviews and good stuff for you coming up in the wake of Media Day. And then, about a week later, first preseason game. Training camp technically is the rest of that week, the 26th through the 29th, but NBA training camps are a little different, and it sort of bleeds into the preseason. But it is going to be a shorter camp and a shorter preseason this year to open up the league to have that longer regular season. And of course, the opening night for the Grizzlies, Tony Allen and the Pelicans, big opening night on October 18th. So get ready for that. Big thanks to the folks at Outdoors Inc. for continuing to help with the podcast. Again, if you want to go online and really support the podcast, go to outdoorsinc.com, use promo code LOGrizzlies. That's LOGrizzlies. You'll save 10% off your entire order. And for those of you that are having fun, and this is a perfect time of year, to do it. Man, there's so many cool things going on outside. You want to ride your bike, you want to go hiking, you want to go walking, you want to go run, you want to kayak, you want to canoe, you want to camp. Go on those trips. Start to think about the fall trip to go see some of the great foliage around the area and get in those national parks. Man, Outdoors Inc. can get you loaded up and ready to go. Great footwear, great coolers, great gear, all that. And really the best part is the expertise. Incredible people. Because Outdoors Inc. has been doing this since 1974, powering human-powered recreation. So that means that folks there, they know it. They love it just like you do. They can help you with all of your issues, anything that you need to know. You want to try things on. You want to test things out. They got you covered at Outdoors Inc. Again, check it out. Five great locations, including Jackson, online as well at OutdoorsInc.com. Remember that promo code LOGRIZZLIES to save you 10% off of your entire order. Thank you so much for joining me here on this edition of Locked on Grizzlies. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll be back next week. And as I said, going to start to ramp things up a little bit here. We'll get you more information next week on this ownership thing that has kind of made the rounds of the last week or so. I don't know that it's as big a deal as a lot of people are making it out to be, but we will touch on that probably next week. Also start to get some questions and a Q&A because we haven't done one of those in a while. So I'll put the info out on that. We'll start to do a little Q&A too. That's all on the way. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked on Grizzlies. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.